morning. Good morning to everybody on the podcast. Welcome. We're going to be looking at Mark. We're doing a section we've already done before, just because I had some things I wanted to say about it. So the lovely Neville, as per usual, very gracious, letting me stick my two penny worth in. And I'm just really encouraged that we are looking through Mark, because we're called, aren't we, to make disciples, and that means to teach them to obey Jesus. So we need to be listening to Jesus in order to obey him, don't we? So it's just wonderful to focus on him. And what I felt I really wanted to talk about was believing from your heart. So when I was listening to this section on Mark, that's what I really felt God was wanting to deal with, some of the things in our hearts, so that we really believe him. So this is the section. I was going to look there. Hold on, I forgot to read it. So in the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." So when I look at this passage, I am absolutely stunned by what's on offer. And I am absolutely amazed at who Father is, that he actually is giving us this tremendous opportunity, this tremendous authority, this history-changing ability, that whatever we ask for, if we believe it in our hearts, it will be done for us. It's an amazing thing. And the key is this. If anyone says to the mountain, "Go, throw yourself into the sea," and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. So what I'm looking for is, I want to get into that. This is our inheritance. This is what Father wants us to have. This is what Jesus died for. So I want it. Anybody else want it? Yeah, come on. We want to be history changers, don't we? Yeah. And so I'm looking for keys. I'm always looking for keys. And this is one: not doubting in your heart. So that's why my talk is about believing. And I want to look at some of the things that might be going on in our hearts, because I want to get to that place where my experience lives at the level of what God says, rather than lives with disappointment or unbelief or you know, ordinary, mediocre. I don't want to be there, because that's not where God is. So I want to look at the heart. And the Bible has a lot to say about the heart, because what is going on in your heart really matters to Father. He really loves you, and what you're carrying, he really cares about. So it says this one: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's a heart response, isn't it? That's where the believing is, and that's what gets you saved. Proverbs: trust in the Lord with all your heart. He wants us to trust him. It must grieve him, because he's such a faithful God, you know, that we don't trust him. And he's saying, trust me, not with your mind, trust me in your heart. This one: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's an amazing one. Everything we do and say, everything we achieve, everything we minister, everything we pray, everything we receive in prayer, everything we do at work, everything comes out of what's inside our heart. So it's very, very, very important to deal with what's going on there. So I want you to imagine there's Everest. Okay, there's some little chap daunted by Everest. And I want you to think about what's on offer. Can you actually imagine speaking to a real life mountain and seeing it move? Look at that. Jesus cursed an actual fig tree to demonstrate in the natural world the effect of our prayers in the spiritual world. So I want to be like that. I want to know and believe in my heart that when I see a mountain, I say to it, move, and I don't doubt in my heart, and it moves, and something changes. So I want to ask you, what are your mountains? Because obviously it would not be very helpful to a lot of people if Everest moved, or Snowdonia, or Ben Nevis, or whatever it is. So I know that Jesus is showing us something. He did it literally to show us that, you know, I'm not just talking, airy-fairy. This is how real it is, what happens when we believe from our hearts. But I know that he's talking to us in a kind of metaphorical way. And I know that every single person in this room will be facing a mountain. Because Jesus is always bringing things to us and showing us what's in our hearts. And he's on this journey of changing us and making us more like him. And he is a God of the impossible. And so he wants us to be people who believe in the God of the impossible and take risks and see things change. So he's always calling us for more. So can you imagine yourself speaking to that impossible situation and seeing it change? Jesus raised the dead. That's a pretty big mountain, isn't it? There's a lot wrong with somebody who's dead. Sickness healed. That's a mountain we're continually facing. Sickness. And we want to be able to say, go in Jesus' name and not doubt it. And see that whatever we ask for, we get. Barrenness. Lack of fruitfulness. Poverty, somebody you're praying for their, you know, to be saved, their mountains. And we want to believe in our God and see it changed. So my question is, when you face them, what is going on in your heart? Because we know, most of us here know the right things to say, we know the right things to pray, but what is actually going on in our hearts is what's affecting heaven and affecting what happens on earth. So I've got a couple of little stories of things I felt like God was going for this morning. So my first one is, you won't know this, but some of you get the Bill Johnson Bethel podcast will know what I mean, but Bring Rascal Home Prayers is what I want to talk about. I was really impacted by a talk, and in it there's this guy Banning Leashier, and he has two dogs, and he really, really loves the dogs. And his whole family loved the dogs. And apparently these dogs are like, you know, siblings, extra siblings in the family. I'm not a real animal person, so I can't massively relate to it. And they like the cat. They have a cat called Rascal, and they like the cat. So they love the dogs. They like the cat. Sorry to any cat lovers. No cats were damaged in the making of this speech, so don't panic. Okay, so they moved, and I don't know any of this stuff because I'm not an animal lover, but apparently you keep cats in for a while till they get really used to all the sounds, smells, whatever, of the house before you let them out if they've moved, so they don't get lost. So they kept Rascal the cat in for about a month, and then they gradually letting him out into the garden for little bits, and so they did all the right stuff. Anyhow, Rascal went missing. Yeah, I didn't really care that much either. Sorry. Sorry to every cat lover. Sorry. Anyhow, so he said, I knew the right thing to do, so I got all the family together. Dear Lord Jesus, please bring Rascal home. Amen. Done it. Ka-ching. And Sorry, there's no happy ending to this story. Rascal did not come home. He did have a moment where there was another black cat on somebody's drive, and he did take that cat and he brought it home, but it wasn't Rascal. So it was a bit embarrassing, and the neighbours whose cat it was have never spoken to him again, and in fact moved, and he wondered whether that was relevant to what had happened. But I, you know, what he was saying was he didn't really think that Rascal would come back. He didn't really think that his prayer would make a difference. But he knew the right things to pray. And I think a lot of the time, well, we pray bring Rascal home type of prayers, where we know we should, so we do. But we don't really think anything's going to happen because we've prayed it. Might if somebody else does, but we don't really expect anything to happen. And we're kind of not surprised when nothing does. So I want you to think about that. Do I sometimes pray those bring Rascal home prayers? So I want to introduce you to somebody else. This is Brenda. So Brenda's, this was my Google look for a disappointed face. Okay. So now, another person I listen to a lot is Isabel Allam. And she had a friend called Brenda, and Brenda lost a precious diamond ring. They were very expensive. It was a gift from her husband. It had loads and loads of emotional value attached to it, and she lost this ring. So Isabel Allam, I'm not sure whether you find this helpful or not, but she was wanting to be helpful. She goes, let me tell you some stories about that, because faith comes by hearing. So she told her about the fact that she'd lost some medication and she'd forgotten to bring it with her. And she said, oh, Holy Spirit, I've forgotten this medication. What am I going to do? And about half an hour later, he said, look in your handbag. She looked in her handbag, and there was this whole strip of medication. He'd just provided it for her. And then she told her about her husband, Ivan, and how the sat-nav had been stolen, and how he'd gone out for a drive, come back, got a coffee, picked up Isabel. They went to get back in the car, opened the driving side door, and there was the sat-nav. And he said to her, believe you me, I did not drive all the way out and back, sat on that thing. It's just arrived. So she told her all this. So Brenda goes, okay, dear Lord Jesus, please bring back my earring. Nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. So she was quite knocked. Anyhow, so a month went by, they're out driving again, the car is full, and Isabel forgets her medication again. And she goes, oh no, I've forgotten it. And then she felt the Holy Spirit say, look in your handbag, and which she had tipped out everything, emptied the whole thing, put it all back. Oh well, I'm just going to have to trust him, it'll be okay. Anyway, half an hour later, gets this thing. Look in your handbag. She looks, there's this strip of medication. And everybody in the car's going, woohoo, woo, woo, apart from Brenda. Okay, Brenda is very disappointed about this and naffed off. And she's, you know, but she's not feeling it, yeah? And her attitude is, you do it for Isabel, you've got favorites, you don't do it for me. And so she's in the shower the next day, and she decides to tell Jesus exactly what she feels about it, which, you know, is actually always a good thing, because he knows, doesn't he, what's going on in our hearts. So she tells him, I'm really upset. You do it for Isabel. You don't, you know, and I've prayed to you, and I've asked you for this earring. And I mean, you know, she's just been forgetful. You know, I've lost it. It's really precious to me. I really, you know, I'm really upset about it. And when she paused to breathe, Father said to her, but you didn't really believe me, did you? You didn't really believe I would do it for you. And there was a little, actually, no, I didn't believe you would. And so she really repented and she said, God, I'm really sorry. I didn't believe you. I believe it's the sort of thing you do for Isabel, but I don't believe it's the sort of thing you do for me. And I am going to now choose to believe you. She didn't feel it. There wasn't some, you know, lovely holy moment, the light shone down, you know, she felt this glow. She just thought, I'm just going to choose. So she said, Father, I'm going to choose to believe you. She got out, got dressed, walked into her bedroom. There it was on the chest of drawers. Never been there before. So it's an amazing thing, isn't it? So I want to say to you, what is going on with you when you pray? Because there is a whole level that God wants to take us to. And some of those are like really little situations, aren't they? Bring the cat home, I've lost an earring. But We're facing huge things all the time that are revealing to us what's in our heart. And if we're going to break through and see who God is, we do have to deal with it. So, my first question is, are you like Banning and you don't believe your prayer will make a difference? I've got some options for you, some things we could do. So in John 15, verse 7, it says this: if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Again, that promise. And the secret there is remaining in Jesus and his words remaining in you. So my top tip is be real. Be real about it. Always be real with God. But then say, Father, what are you saying about this situation? What do you want to do in this situation? What are you saying about it? It might be that he gives you a word from the Bible. I journal, so I'm always kind of like, pour out my heart to God, and then I write what he's telling me. And then I look at it, and I try not to forget it, because it can go, you know, in one ear and out the other. And then I've asked him for something like, what are you doing in cell? He tells me, and then I get to cell, and I've forgotten what he said. And then it can go a bit pants. So, but it's all the time. Father wants to speak about your finances. He wants to speak about your marriage. He wants to speak about your family. He cares about what's going on in your job. He wants to tell you about the world out there. He wants to tell you what he's, you know, what he's doing today on a Sunday. He wants to tell you what it is he's really dealing with you at the moment, what your season's in, what your destiny is. He's got something to say about everything. And if we hear what he says and really don't rush, dwell on it, focus on it, don't go on to the next thing, keep dwelling on it until it remains in you, then you can release and declare it, which is what we're asked by him to do. We don't often have to pray, we just speak the word of authority, but we get to the place where we're not doubting it. We know that we know that we know this is what Father's doing. And we speak it out, and that is our destiny. So I really want to say to you, there's no shortcut. Spend time with God. He has got something to say, and it will always bring hope, and it will always bring freedom, and it will always do you good, and it will always be kinder than anything that you deserve or imagine. And he's got something to say, and he wants to make a difference in every single area of your life. And as I always say, it's always hope. So if it's any area where you're not feeling hope, seek the Lord, because he has got a life-changing word to tell you that will change that situation. Amen. Amen. Thanks, John. Amen. And this is who God is. I love this verse in Romans. He's the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not as though they are. That's what our destiny is, to be like him. So you don't look at the situation and think, oh no, it's like that. You say, God, what is your picture of it? What do you want it to be? And then you speak it out, and it has within it the power to transform that situation. That's what we're called to do. So we need to spend time with him to hear it, so we don't doubt in our hearts. And we know then our prayers will make a difference. Just like when he cursed that tree, it withered. When I speak it, that mountain, whatever that mountain is going to crumble and fall. And I just want to remind you, there are two halves to prayer. So we know this half really well, don't we? Ask and seek and knock. And we do a lot of that. But there's another side to it. Receive, find, open. And that's what God wants to do. He's not always, you know, ask. And it's, yes, but it's receive. That's what we've got to get into. We're doing a lot of that, but we want to do a lot of this. And I think the secret is remaining in God, seeking him, and speaking out from a place of confidence, because God has told you. So let his words remain in you. Seek God, find out what he's saying about the situation. Let his words remain in you so that you know that you have what you've prayed for. Amen? Yeah. So my other question is, are you like Brenda? I'm breaking friends with Brenda today, just let you know. Deep down, do you believe God will do it for others, but he won't do it for you? Allow God to show you what is really going on in your heart. The amazing proverb, you know, guard your heart because out of it flows everything. There's another one that says that as a man thinks, so he is. And I really challenge you, your life is the way it is because of what you believe. So I don't know about you, I need to do some changing. I don't want it to stay like this. And the amazing, fantastic, and wonderful thing is God has a wonderful life for us of challenge and adventure and fruitfulness and purpose and significance. And he wants us to have it. So last week, Vernon spoke about wounds and lies. And I love Vernon. Thank you very much, Vernon, for speaking on that. Because that is the language of our healing encounters. That's the language of our Sozo prayer ministry. So I just thought, oh, well done, Vernon. Thank you very much. Gone back. Our hearts have wounds. And there's a strategy of the enemy that happens with that. So, you know, all of us here, some big, some small, all of us have got wounded hearts in lots of different ways. And there's a satanic strategy that comes with that. And I'll explain this in a minute, but the satanic strategy is that you get a wound, and from it, you get to believe something about yourself or about God that you really believe because of the experience, but it isn't the truth. So I've got a picture here because I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. And the guy with the black hair is Wormtongue. Fantastic name, I think. And he is whispering lies into the king, Theoden. And it's making this king feel feeble, afraid, passive, this hopeless, old. And while he's feeling all those things, his country is being attacked and marauded by enemies, and he's doing nothing about it. Anybody notice anything about that? Just mentioning it. So all the time, God wants us to be in this process where he put us in a situation, we face the mountain, we realize, something's going on here in my heart. Why, God? And we get it dealt with so we can punch the enemy in the face and we can see those mountains come down. That's what we're called to do. So I wanted to give you a little example from my own life. So God does not speak to me. So I've been a Christian for years and years and years, and I really know my Bible and I know the truth, okay? So I know the right thing to say. So the right thing is God is always speaking, I'm his sheep, my sheep can hear his voice. So I'd be saying that all the time. And I was probably hearing God all the time, but I didn't believe it. Because in my heart, my wound would be that my relationship with my dad, I never, ever, 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 ever had a conversation with him. So I just couldn't grasp that you could have a conversation with Father like a dad and him talk to you like a dad. And it'd be easy. I just couldn't get there. But I would be sticking the, you know, going for the, oh, yes, my sheep hear his voice. I'm believing it. But actually my heart was going, yeah, dream on. I'm not believing that. Okay? And so I said to the Lord one day, Father, am I believing a lie about you? And that's what I saw. I saw him on his throne quite a way away, because again, one of my little mindsets was he's quite distant. And he had this great big silver gaffer tape stuff. Is it called gaffer tape? That sort of really hard stuff over his mouth. And basically he was telling me, you're believing that, and that's what you're getting. And in fact, it's gagging me. You're not hearing me. So it didn't take a lot of rocket science for me to work out where that lie had come from. So I did a load of forgiving my dad. And I said, no, I renounce the lie that you're like him. And I'm so much more confident about hearing his voice. And I'm pursuing him, obviously, for more, because there's always more. But I hear him every day. And actually, every day, he wants to tell me that he loves me. And that is doing me a lot of good. So my heart was believing something that my head was saying, no, 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 this is the truth. But my heart had to be dealt with. And it was an easy thing. and I dealt with it, and I'm different, and I'm been set free. So that is the amazing grace that God has for us. So I want to tell you that it's good to ask God questions. The last time I spoke from Mark, obviously, because we're doing Mark, and it was about the boy who was demonized, and the disciples had tried to deliver him, and they'd not been able to do it. And they asked God, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Because their expectation was, hallelujah, that they should be able to, which is what we want. And I want to say it is really good to ask God questions. And here's some that it's really good to ask him. Is there a lie I'm believing about you? This is what we do in Sozo all the time, but I do it in my life all the time. Who do I need to forgive concerning that lie? What is the truth you want me to know? And then I let those words remain in me so I get to the place where whatever I ask for, it will be done in the name of Jesus. Yeah? So that's what I want to encourage you. I don't believe it's about navel gazing. I don't believe this is about, oh, it's all about me. It's a flow all the time, because my ultimate aim is I want to represent God well. I want to bless Jesus. Do you know what he's looking for when he comes back on this earth? Faith. He's looking for people who really believe in him. So all the time my journey is, God, inward, what are you telling me? Outward, how can I love better? Upward, how can I love you better? And if we have a time when we're not flowing outward, or we're not flowing upward, often it's because we need to be dealing with something in our heart, and then we're released to go for it. So it's really encourage you. We don't want to be navel-gazing, but we do want to be people who represent God well. And there's a world out there that really needs us to represent him well. So all the time we want that flow. I want to have confidence in my God. I want to stand with people who are facing mountains and not be thinking, I'm praying all the right prayers, but inside I'm thinking, oh God, I don't think this is going to make a flip of difference. Or, oh God, after this, I'm just going to go and get Kate, because God loves Kate, so if she prays, maybe it'll work. Yeah? I don't want to do that. I want to have faith in my God. Mountain, you don't scare me. Bog off. In the name of Jesus, whatever that mountain is, yeah? So it's the inward journey, affects the outward journey, affects the upward journey, and those flow all the times. My friends, talk to the hand. Brenda, it's time to break friends with Brenda. I don't want to be disappointed anymore. I want to believe in my God. He loves me. He'll do it for me. Amen? Amen. So, whoops, just take a swig. So, we want to be people who don't pray rascal come home prayers, or I expect to be disappointed, he doesn't want to do it for me. Yeah? And at the end of it, Jesus seems to talk this random thing about unforgiveness. And you think, why is that at the end of that little passage? And I want to say, unforgiveness, we've realized, is a bit of a grace blocker. It seems to block our prayers. And even worse, I've put a dentist there. Sorry to anybody who's a dentist. But there, it gives Satan a legitimate right to invade your life and do you harm. In Matthew 18:34, the servant gets handed over to the torturers. That's why I put the dentist in there. Don't like dentists. Have had a lot of pain at the hands of dentists. Have had a lot of pain with my teeth. So unforgiveness actually allows the enemy to invade your life. He has a legitimate right to torture you. So unforgiveness seems to be a grace blocker. So I just want to remind you what forgiveness is and what it means. It does not mean that what that person did to you is right. No, it was wrong. It does not mean that what happened to you doesn't matter. No, it really matters. It matters a lot. It mattered so much that Jesus went to the cross for it. That's how much it mattered. Unforgiveness isn't your friend. It's not holding back pain. It's meaning you're carrying it and you're stuck with it. It's not going to protect you from pain. And actually, it's not hurting the other person, it's hurting you. We forgive because we have been forgiven. So we need to remember Jesus, what he did has forgiven you for every single thing going on in your life. And that is why we forgive. We want to be like him and we can't be hypocrites. And we forgive because it is as we forgive others that we ourselves get forgiven. It says, Father, forgive me my trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. I need forgiveness every day, all day, so I need to forgive. Now, Kerry did a fantastic book called Take Heart, I think it was called. And in it, she got a picture from God of unforgiveness. It's like this big meat hook in your heart, causing it to bleed. And what forgiveness is taking that meat hook out of your heart that is killing you and putting it onto God's cross and saying, Jesus, I'm unhooking them from me. I'm hooking them onto you. I'm saying only you are trustworthy to deal with it. I'm leaving it with you. And that's what forgiveness is. And I felt God say, there's quite a few people carrying pain because of hurt. And I felt, you know, that scripture, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That we have a lot of hurt that we're carrying that we don't, God doesn't want us to carry. And the secret is forgiveness. And as we forgive, it's like those heavy burdens can be given to him for him to carry, because he's carried our sorrows on the cross. So I really feel he wants to do that for you. The cross is the place of exchange. God wants to take your sorrow and give you his peace instead. So just to recap, seek God for what he's saying so that you can release it with confidence. Let God deal with the unbelief in your heart, and he can bring you to a place where you believe him. You know that you know that you know what you matters to you really matters to him, and he loves you and he wants to do it for you. And let go of unforgiveness so God can heal the pain that's in your heart. And so it doesn't block your prayers for him. So I'm wondering whether we can just do a little bit of praying together to finish that off, if that's okay. So we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. So let's just chill out for a mo. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you that you know our hearts, God. Thank you that you are the God who transforms us from the inside out and makes us more and more and more like Jesus. And Jesus didn't ever doubt you, Father. And we want to be like him and not doubt you. Yeah. So come, Holy Spirit. So let's together, we're going to break this lie that our prayers don't make a difference. Anybody up for that? Yeah? So we're going to say it after me. I'll lead you in a little sozo prayer, okay? We make everybody say everything after us. So, Father God, today I am renouncing the lie that my prayers don't make a difference. Yeah, I don't want to partner with that lie anymore. Yeah, amen? Yes. Okay, let's get some aggression on it, yeah? Okay, and then Father God, today I want to renounce the lie that you won't do it for me. Yeah, I don't want to partner with that anymore. Yeah, God. So set me free. Yeah, God. Yeah. And I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, will you just show us any areas of unforgiveness in our lives? Any areas where we're carrying heavy weights of pain. Yeah, just come, Holy Spirit, unlock our hearts. Come. Yeah. And I just want to say there's a grace for you today. So if you feel like, do you know what? I want to do some business with God about that. Then we want to pray for you. because Jesus wants to take that heavy weight from you. So I'd really encourage you that at the end of the service, just to come and get and come and get some mercy and grace from God. But Father, I want to pray that for a grace to rest on us, a grace to forgive. I want to pray, Father, for fresh revelation of you, Jesus, on the cross, that you forgave us, and that out of that mercy that flows from you, you'd give us a grace for mercy to flow from our hearts, Father, and you set us free from offense. You set us free from bitterness, Father, that you'd release our hearts from that weight of pain we're carrying, Father God. So I pray for a fresh grace to forgive, to rest on us, Father. Yeah. And God, I also want to pray that you would release faith in you throughout our church. And God, that there would be a grace for us to be a church that really believes in you, Jesus, really believes in you, that what you say is what you will do. Yeah, I want to pray, God, that you've given us a high calling to be radical believers, radical risk takers, radical history changers, Reading changers. And God, we just ask, deal with our hearts so that our faith is growing and strengthening inside us. And we honor you. We honor you, Jesus. And we want to see those mountains crumble. In the name of Jesus, amen.